John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. I am personally enjoying this. I love when we can go through it and we, and I want to connect the dots, right? I want to connect the dots. I don't know, did I put it? I put it in my notes, but I don't think I put it in the slides. Let me see. I didn't. So just let me give you the four reasons. I'll try to put that in my slides each time. Four reasons why 1 John was written. It is written that our joy might be full. Now, I want to be clear. The book of 1 John is written to believers, written to those that have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have put their complete trust in the work of Jesus Christ. They understood that their sin separated them from God, those that are true followers. We understand sin is what destroys us. Sin is what separates us from God. And by faith in Christ, He has removed our sins and He's given us the righteousness of Christ, and we have been reconciled with God. There's nothing more beautiful. And so it is written to Christians, to those that are true believers, right? You're going to see in the passage this morning, it says, he that saith, he that saith, he that saith, he that saith. It's easy to say you're a Christian. We'll see it by your fruits. And so I do want you to understand this. God saved us, for those that are saved in this room, that our joy might be full. It's important to remember that. Life is hard. Life is difficult. That song, I so get it. It can be the most difficult song to sing because heartbreak is real. Death is real. Death is the worst thing, right? Death is the last enemy to be destroyed. But he wrote this book that our joy might be full for believers. He wrote this book that we would not sin and break the fellowship with God. Remember, there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Relationship is only established by faith in Jesus Christ. You become a child of God. Before faith in Jesus Christ, before you're born again, you are a child of the devil. Go look at John chapter 8 if you doubt me. The Bible says that. Now, that's shocking to some. See, you if you listen to congressmen and don't get your theology from our political representatives, trust me. They'll say it, and I just heard it recently. We are all children of God. Well, then people tell me, well, if I were God, I'd never send any of my children to hell. God doesn't. If you're born again, He won't send you to hell. But you must be born again, and He has provided for you to be born again. That's the good news. But he wrote it so that our joy might be full and so that we would not sin and break that fellowship. When I sin, I do not become an unchristian. He's still my Heavenly Father by faith in Christ, but my fellowship is broken because, just like in any relationship, if you're mean to your kids, they're not going to like you. And the fellowship's going to be broken, but they're still your kids. So you need to reconcile. You need to be made right. And not because you're worried that they're not your kids, but because you want that sweet fellowship. And that's the same reason for us as believers, that sin will bother us different than it did before we were saved. It just will. It'll make you one miserable person. One of the most encouraging things. If I see somebody that's a Christian and they're miserable, then either they're not a Christian or they're not right with God. Misery is not a characteristic of a believer. We can have sorrow. We can have sorrow. But when God saves us, He just changes us. So He wrote that our joy might be full, that we would not sin and break the fellowship, and that we would avoid false teaching, another reason, and finally that we would know that we have eternal life. And so let's just read 1 John chapter 2. Let's just read verses 1 through 7. I'm going to focus on verses 3 through 7 this morning. My little children, what an endearing term that John just, this is a term of endearment. It's not an insulting term. He just views them. These are people that he knew, that he loved. He says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have someone that goes before us, an advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Then it's interesting. Next week we'll say, he says, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. Then the very next verse, I'm writing a new commandment to you. But I believe that verse 7 may refer to what we're dealing with here. There's some debate. But what he's telling us is obedience is the hallmark of Christianity. It is the outcome of Christianity. I've titled the message this morning, Obedience, a Gift from God. Here's why I titled that. I want to tell you, when God commands something, it's for our good. And you'd think not the way we act sometimes, but when God tells us to do something, it's for our good. Understand this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you are outside of Christ, remember, the Bible gives us distinctions of, he separates humankind into two. It is you are in Christ or not in Christ. You are saved or you're lost. You're a sheep or you're a goat. You're born again or you're not. You're a believer or you're an unbeliever, right? It is, those are just distinctions the Bible makes, right? But if you are in Christ, you can do what's right. You are not in Christ, you cannot. Now that's shocking. But that's from God's perspective. I want you to understand this. The only way someone can have victory over sin and literally do what's right for the right reason that honors God is if you have been born again. Otherwise, it's all relative good. Lost people can do relative good. They can be loving to their spouse. They can be kind. They're created in the image of God. But they can't do absolute good because their motives are not right. You see, when you're saved, your motives changed. When you're saved, your motives becomes the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're saved, it's because of his honor. Before someone's saved, they are living for one person, and that's themselves. It is, everything changes. You'll love your spouse better. You'll love your kids better. You'll be more loving. You'll be more kind. Though you still struggle with this flesh, everything changes. One of the greatest gifts God's given us as a believer, if you're a believer in here this morning, is the gift of obedience. He's given you the ability to overcome sin. Now, if you follow 1 John, he says, if you say you have no sin, the truth is not in you. So I'm not here preaching that you can ultimately arrive and live continually in perfection. I think we can have moments of holiness. I really do. I think we ought to strive to be honorable to the Lord, but we must recognize this, and I think we must recognize this every 24 hours, that I have fallen short of the glory of God even just this last day. And we must confess our sins. Not because I'm worried about going to hell, because I want to make things right with my Savior. And sin is what will bother you, oh Christian. You can't wallow in it like a pig in mud. And so the goal is this, but I want you to see this. You see this in 1 John 1. He says, if we say we have no sin, the truth isn't in us. So that we just should have regular confession of sin. That, oh God, I'm not doing what's right. Oh God, would you help me do what's right? Show me somebody that's a Christian and they're in sin, they should be miserable. You know, lost people aren't miserable in their sin. I ask them. I say, does this bother you? They go, no, not at all. And I'll say, okay, I'm just curious. Some things still bother because lost people have a conscience. But see, a Christian says this, I'm bothered even if I don't get caught because I've dishonored my Savior, the one that died for me, the one that took my eternal punishment. Oh, I've dishonored him. It doesn't matter if I'm caught. See, I'm not worrying about him striking me down. It's just he loves me. You see, I can stand before you here today, and the only reason why is because Jesus loves me. It's the greatest message that I never get tired of telling. Is there any other reason to live? Is there any other reason to live? You got things to do, houses to buy, and those are all good things, and God's happy about that. You know what? He's happy about you having babies and raising a family, but if you do it outside of Jesus Christ, you've missed it. And I've missed it. I've wasted huge portions of my life from being distracted from what really matters in life. So he says, don't say you have no sin. You need to constantly be confessing your sins. But then he says in the beginning, he says, I'm writing this unto you that you sin not. And that you got to love the balance where we're going to go today. He says, I'm writing this unto you that you sin not. And when you do sin, you have an advocate. Oh, believer. Jesus is in heaven interceding for you, oh, believer. Tells us that in Romans 8. I used that passage last week. And so he says, don't say you don't have no sin. Oh, but I'm writing this so you don't sin. And then here's what he writes. He writes this. Now look at verse 3. He says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do you see the directional, just he's given us a full picture. Because so many Christians are walking around, I touched on this last week, they define their Christianity about what they don't do. You know, I mean, there was the old saying, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go out with girls that do. Right? That was the old, you know, and that's like, oh man, that was like a dumb statement, but that sort of defines a false Christianity. I'm focused on what I don't do. Now, the Bible says sin not. But what it says is, you want to know if you know him? Do you just love the wording of verse 3? Do you love that? He says, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And let me just quickly, I'll just with my first point, this is not new. Look at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you had, which you have heard from the beginning. Nothing is going to be new here today. But I'll tell you, it's important. It's important. So he says, don't sin. But he says, if you want to know that you know him, then obedience is how you'll know that you know him. That's what verse 3 says. He says this, he says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So the first thought of obedience, it enables us to confidently know that we know Christ. Let me tell you, how do you know if you're a Christian? I ask people that all the time. In fact, people ask me that all the time. I love it. I've got this guy. I love this guy. He met with me for the fourth week, and he told me, he said, I asked him, I said, his name's Jeff, and Jeff is, I think Jeff will be here eventually, but I better not call out Jeff. You smack me down if I do. Because Jeff goes, you know what my worst nightmare is? Is if I go to church and somebody calls me out, and I go, good thing I'm not that kind of preacher. If I start calling out, I'm going to call a different name and look somewhere else. And it's all about Jeff. But Jeff, you know, he has anxiety. 50-year-old man looked at me this past week. I said, Jeff, have you finally trusted in Christ? And he goes, he told me this. He goes, I think I have. You been there? I think I have. He goes, but I haven't felt anything. You looking for a feeling? And you know, just some of you guys, you know it, where Jeff's at. Jeff's just like, I'm waiting. By God's grace, the next verse we were in the Mark New Testament was Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Here's what Jeff told me after that. He goes, here's kind of what he said. He said, yeah, I think so, but I don't feel anything. He goes, oh, by the way, a friend of mine, Doug's going to come to our Bible study next Thursday. And he said, I talked to my daughters about it this week. They're 28 and 26. And he told me how each responded. One responded well, one didn't respond so well. Then he told me, I told my wife. And she called him a name. And I said, hang in there, Jeff. I said, Jeff, I can't tell you what's going on in your heart. You don't look to me to be a guy that wants to tell anybody that you're going to a Bible study. I said, but since you've asked the Lord to save you, you're bringing a friend named Doug. You told your wife, and you told me, she's not going to respond well. And you told your girls, and you said, I think one will respond well and one won't, and you were right. I said, Jeff, I think you're confessing the Lord Jesus. I said, Jeff, don't wait for fireworks. Just watch God. Let me tell you one thing the Bible says. You wondering if you're saved? Look at verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him. I just love that. I would never say that. Don't you love the way the Bible talks? Hereby do we know that we know him, 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 that we know him. Because there's nothing more important to know that you know, am I right? Because it says in Matthew 7, many in the day of judgment will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You better know that you know that you know him. You know the greatest way that you can know that you know that you know him? I'm just telling you, it says it right here. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I want to put a caution with you here. Remember this, the flow. He says, we struggle with sin every day. You better be confessing every day just to renew that sweet fellowship of the Lord. But it's been written that we sin not, but Christianity's not defined about what we don't do. And then he says, you want to know if you know him? Then keep his commandments. But it's not about rules. You see, it's just like, I mean, I love everything about kids. I don't remember being a kid. And I mean, you know, it to me, if I give you a picture, and everything relates back to Elia. And I mean, she was so excited about an Easter egg hunt. And I'm just like, yeah, oh yeah, Easter egg hunt. I'm like, dumb. You know, Elia's like, glory. I mean, you know, she could make videos, slow motion. You know, it's the greatest thing in the world. Greatest thing in the world. That's when you're saved. That's what obedience should feel like. Well, you know, I'm a Christian. And I have to go to church. No, you don't. But why don't you want to? You understand? This is not drudgery. You know, God says he loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want you to give grudgingly. You know, I'll tell you this. Here's my advice. Do it if you don't want to do it. And if your heart doesn't change, you're probably not saved. I want to tell you, every single thing I've done in my life was never with like, hey, yippee-yay. I used to be the guy, I think I've told you this from the pulpit, I used to be the guy, my wife, is my wife in here? Where? She's upstairs. Oh, man, that makes it better. But my wife, we've been married going on 36 years, and this might shock some of you now, but my wife, she turns out the lights. We can go visit a church, and she'll go, that's okay, I've got a key. Where'd you get a key? I'll lock up. She really almost. She doesn't leave until the last person. She is a true church rat. But I was that grumpy guy. I remember. And I didn't go to a large church. It was like 75 people. You know, and it's like, they knew, oh, where's your husband? He's out steaming the windows in your car. And she said, well, he can wait. She would never say that. But you know what? Finally, I'm sitting out in the car. And I'm like, I am tired of sitting out in this car, smelling my own breath. And so you know what I started doing? I started hanging out like she was. You know what I learned to do? I learned to love to hang out with God's people. I had issues. Do you think I loved hanging out with God's people the first time I started hanging out with God's people? No. Found out who didn't use deodorant. I found out all their problems. But you know what I ended up learning to do? There's no better place than to hang out with God's people. Now, we got a work to do, so we just can't be hanging out with each other all the time, right? There's a work to do. But I want to tell you this. I've never done anything right for the right reason. But when you do something right, you just do what God says. And if you are miserable about it, you're probably not saved. But do what God says, and you will love it. And I'll tell you this. You'll know if you know him. You don't want to do what God says? You probably don't know him. Everybody says they know him. Look at this. Look at verse 4. He that saith I know him. 90% of people I'll say, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Look at verse 6. He that saith. Look at verse 9. He that saith. Easier said than done. I'll guarantee every single person in this room, most you'd say, I'm a Christian. Do you obey? And I'm not talking perfect obedience. I'm talking this. Are you wallowing in sin today? I told you what I told Ron. I'll tell you it again just because I liked it. Because I mean this. The only reason, if I called you, Randall, and I said, I want you to preach, and I prayed about it, you know what I want you to say? Yes. You know the only reason I don't want you to preach? you're not right with God. Now, I'm not talking about daily. We just need to confess our sins, right? That's why every time I lay my head on the pillow, I want to review my day. I want to review my day. I want to get things right with God before I put my head down. And then what I love is the Bible says, morning by morning, His mercies are new. Isn't God good? And so the only reason I wouldn't want you to preach, if you're wallowing in sin, not doing what's right, you're trying to hide it from everybody, I do not want you in this pulpit. I know this. We struggle. I don't need to list the sins we struggle with. Makes you feel like a loser sometimes, right? We have an advocate, Ron. Sean, we have an advocate. This is not about being feeling beat up. You understand this? This is about us knowing that Christ loves us. Do you love this? He says, I'm writing that you sin not. But we have an advocate. God's not up there calling us a loser. God's up there saying this, but you want to know that you know that you know that you know that you know Him? Keep His commandments. You don't walk with God? No way. I meet people all the time. I meet people all the time, and they'll say, well, I'm a Christian. And there's zero evidence. They're not walking with God. I want you to see this. Look at this in verse 6. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. I want you just to hear this morning. It's super important. So the first thought is enables us to confidently know that we know Christ. Do you know for sure? The thing that will make you doubt is sin. But I want to encourage you with this. If you regularly confess and you make it right with God, that's a great indication that you're a Christian. I asked a young man many months ago, and it's a thrill today, that young man's saved. But I asked that young man, I said, do you ever ask God to forgive you of your sin? And he said, no. Right then, I was convinced. I don't know how you could be a Christian, not be bothered with sin, and not confess your sin to God regularly. From that point on, I never doubted that young man was lost, but I praise the Lord that God has since saved him. I just want you to know that it's not about perfection. We serve a perfect Savior. But it's just about this. I think I know the hearts of Christians in here. Sean, do you want to be perfect? I do. I can get so discouraged. Darlene, I can get so discouraged because I'm so far from perfection. But if I keep my eyes on Christ and His work, right, then I don't get discouraged. If I keep my eyes on my failures, I'll be incredibly discouraged. But I know this. Oh, every Christian in this room, you want to be perfect. Not so that everybody else sees it, because it's a gift to Him. Let me just tell you this morning, it's we've come and we call that you've come to worship the King this morning. You worship Him in song. You worship Him in truth. But I want you to know this. You know how I believe that you can best worship the King? It's when nobody else is around. See, worshiping is declaring worth unto the King. When nobody else is around, where's your heart? When nobody else is around, and I understand this, temptation rises. Talked with a young man this past week. He said, I felt it coming on. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I said, I know exactly what you're talking about because Ron told me. do you feel it coming on? You know what I asked him? I said, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to guess you hadn't been in the Word of God for several days prior to that. Am I right or wrong? He said, you're right. You don't go into the Word of God just to check the box. You've got to go into the Word of God with your heart. But he said, I felt it coming on me. And he felt terrible, and he made it right with God. But let me tell you, and I talked to him about this. I said, you want a sweet-smelling savor under the nostrils of God? That's how God talked about the sacrifices in the Old Testament. I liken it to Longhorn Steakhouse. I can't drive by Longhorn Steakhouse without going, okay. I can't drive by McDonald's without that happening either. I have issues. But it is when you honor God, when you feel it. Everybody understand when I say when you feel it? You know what I'm talking about. You know what's right. You feel it right here. And you're like, I don't know. You know, the Bible says flee fornication, flee sin. And it's this. When you, by God's grace, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. and you probably ought to be honest, the times that we're more susceptible is the times we've drifted and we really haven't been feasting on the Word of God. That's when temptation will rise itself. When we haven't been meditating on the gospel, that's when temptation will rise its ugly head. So you can't make up for it that moment. That's why sometimes it might be a good idea to run and then get in the Word. Let me tell you how you can worship God. Let me tell you how you can honor Him. Let me tell you how He feels loved. I'll tell you this. When temptation comes up and you submit yourself to God, you resist the devil, and the devil flees from you, and you have victory. And nobody else knows. But God does. And He's like, oh, I like that. You see, that's what Christianity is about. It's not about me trying to impress you. It's about me just living for my King. See, my King sees everything. That's kind of a scary thought. My King knows everything I think. But when I submit my thoughts to Him and nobody else knows, my King goes, oh, I like that. Do you know Him today? Do you know that you know Him? Do you want to just honor Him? Do you want to just honor the King? Second point I want you to, it enables us to abide in Christ. Look at verse 6. I may not get through all these points. Something's wrong with that clock. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. I want to show you just a few verses. I put 1 John 2:6 there, but he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. But look at John 15:10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I do talk about abiding in the love of Christ. I do talk about that a lot. And I think what we're learning in Sunday school is how to put some meat around those bones. And abiding in Christ is abiding in His gospel, is focusing on Him, focusing on His goodness, focusing on the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you this, you want to abide in Christ? It's obedience. And we're learning this in 1 John, or being reminded about it, that what will break that fellowship is sin. Is sin. And it doesn't have to be grave, gross sin. It can just be pride. It can be meanness to your spouse. It can be disrespect for whomever. But it's this. You want to abide in Christ? One of the blessings is obedience enables us to abide in Christ. We talk about that. Third, I want you to see here, it leads us to the love of God being perfected in us. Look at verse 5. I want you to grasp this. But whosoever keepeth his word. Now, I just want to pause there. Keepeth his word. You need to be in the Bible. And I know this. If you can only be in the Bible for 10 minutes a day, then be in the Bible 10 minutes. If it's 5 minutes a day, then the Holy Spirit will extend your desire. I want to tell you, be in the Word of God every day. Eat the Word of God every day. He says, but whoso keepeth his word, you need to know it to keep it. In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Again, this book was written that you can know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want you to guess whether you're going to heaven or not. You can know whether you're going to heaven because it's all about Jesus Christ. You can know that you're going to heaven. Look at verse 5 again. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. How many of you say, oh, I would love the love of God to be perfected in me? Let me ask that question one more time. Okay, we're not getting charismatic here, but I would like a raise of hands. And let me ask that again. How many of you say, I would love the love of God to be perfected in me? Raise your hand. It's good. Making sure I wasn't preaching to a bunch of losers because I knew I was. It's this, the love of God to be perfected in us. My greatest gap is love. By God's grace, I will preach love more the rest of my life than I ever have before. You know why I haven't preached love the way I should have done? Because I've worried about being a hypocrite. I want to tell you this, I'm going to preach the love of God because that's the greatest attribute of God. And you know what he says here, Don? But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. I'll show you a verse. I'm on a hobby horse on Matthew 24:12, just so you know. Look at 1 Timothy 1:5, though. Paul speaking to this young man. He says, now the end of the commandment is charity. That's the word for sacrificial love, agape. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. I want you to grasp this. The end of the commandment is charity, that sacrificial love. But here's what it's based on. This is so important for you to remember. I do not want you to leave with a list of rules this morning. I want you to leave with something that says, I want Christ to be my motivation. Do you see what the motivation is? Out of a pure heart. It's not because I'm worried about what somebody else thinks. It's not because I'm worried about going to hell. You see, when Jesus saves, it's permanent. But you will obey his commandments. So if you've really been wallowing in mud like a pig, you're probably just somebody that saith it. But here's the motivation of a Christian. It's a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. I just want to honor Christ. Matthew 24:12, it links a lack of love to sin. And because iniquity shall abound, now this is talking about the end times, which we are in, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Is your love cold? It's because your obedience is probably weak. Is your love cold? Then we do not represent the Lord Jesus Christ right. We ought to love people. Love people, love our enemies. Not just love the people that love us, but love the people that don't love us. If you leave with one thought today and you say, I want to look like a Christian, then you love others with an outstanding love. You love people, they'll let you teach them. You pour your heart into people, they'll let you pour your life into them. No doubt about it. Without a doubt. If we do not have love, we've wasted our time. I literally, one of the names, I still own the website. I'll sell it to you. It's Greater Love Baptist Church. But then I thought, the reason we didn't name it, so when you're the founding pastor, you can't imagine. Greater Love, here's why I didn't name it Greater Love Baptist Church. I immediately thought, all the other Baptist churches are going to think, we're saying we have greater love than you. That's not what it was about. But I thought, I'm not going there. But it's this, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's no greater love than what Jesus Christ did. And so I just didn't think it represented what I wanted it to represent. So we named ourselves Hope because I want you to have hope. You know what that word hope means? Confident expectation. Fourth, and I want you to see this, it's connected to answered prayer. I'm going to show you here real quick. Look at 1 John 3:22. You can turn there, you can look on the screen, whatever you'd like. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I want you to understand this. You know what'll cause your prayers not to be answered, oh Christian? Sin. You know what'll break your fellowship with God? Sin. Oh Christian, you know what'll make you miserable? Sin. You know what you'll regret when you're old? Sin. You know what our enemy is? Sin and this flesh and the devil. God's a God that loves to answer your prayers. He's a God that loves you beyond imagination. When he doesn't answer them, it might be because it is for your own good and his glory. But when he doesn't answer them, sometimes it might be because we're in sin, Clay. You harboring sin this morning? I hope it bothers you. You should be a little encouraged that maybe you're a Christian. But if you're sitting here this morning and you can't wait to run out those doors because this preacher talks too much about sin, then I'm not sure. You know what a true Christian wants? Oh, we hate this. A true Christian wants to be right with God. And if that takes you confronting me, then you confront me and you help me. You help me. At the end of the day, all I want to do is honor Christ. And I need some help. Do it in love. Maybe not right after the sermon. But help me. Help me. Look at John 15:7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And so, these are just amazing commandments. Look at this. Obedience. We have confidence that we know him. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? God gives us indicators. He says, I want you to know that you know me because when I save you, you will obey me. And that's the pattern of your life. Not perfect obedience. If we're just reading the passages, we would understand that. It enables us to abide in Christ. It leads us to the love of God being perfected in us. That's probably the greatest point I have this morning. You want the love of God, it comes through just simple obedience, which I love what Todd said. Didn't you love the distinction between simple and easy? Yeah, I do. It's so simple, just obey. You're like, easier said than done. But it's simple, is it not? It leads to the love of God. It's connected, answer prayer, and it's not grievous. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. I've got so many passages, and I'm not going to take you through all the passages. I might take you through a few. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." The average person I meet thinks the Christian way is misery. It's the number one reason why people do not want to follow Jesus, is because they start listing all the things they think they can't do. I understand that from people that don't know the Bible. That's understandable, right? I mean, if you understand Christianity, it's that you give your life away to someone else and you have no claims on your life. You don't get to really decide anything. He's the boss. That's true Christianity. Sign here, there's 5 copies. Nobody would sign until they realize this. If you don't surrender, you leave God no choice, but He must punish you for your sin. Do you understand that? See, I understand when the world looks at God's commandments as grievous, but here's what's shocking. Let's just talk about Baptists. I'm shocked that Baptists view God's ways as miserable. Some of you know, I affectionately call some of my Baptist brethren crusty Baptists. And so when I have Baptists that visit, I'll usually tell them, I had a guy, I probably shouldn't tell this from the pulpit. I had a guy that showed up one time, he said, "You're the 27th church we have visited." And he was the epitome of Webster's Dictionary of a crusty Baptist. He said, "You're the 27th church we visited, just thought you might want to know." And I said, "I'll be the 27th worst pastor that you've ever met." I said, "I'm not good with crusty Baptists, and if 26 other Baptist churches couldn't please you, you won't like it here." I said, "I have one desire for you, that's that you would teach others the Bible." He had 7 children, so I said this. I said, "Most people with a lot of kids are useless for the kingdom of God." I said, "I hope you're not just about your children." I said, "You have a great priority with your children, but if that's all your life is about, then you will not only be useless to the kingdom of God, but to Hope Baptist Church as well." You guys are like, "Our pastor's a jerk." Look, I wanted to challenge him. It's one thing I love about Stephen Tillery. Stephen Tillery pops out of his van this morning, and this is terrible, because I don't want to hurt him, I don't want to destroy him, but he has 7 kids in his van. And he pops out with a leaf blower to blow off the parking lot. Man, that touched my heart. And then the other kids did too, but the leaf blower touched my heart more. I'm a flake. I like leaves being off the parking lot more than... But I love that. One thing, and I know this, you're challenged. You've got less time than anybody in this room, right? But I'll tell you this, if the only ministry you have is your children, you've missed it. The greatest ministry you have is your children. And so you know what my concern is with crusty Baptists? So just to get back to that, just so you guys say, "Man alive, I don't know about you, Pastor." Is just be teachable. When I say someone's a crusty Baptist, it's because when I say, "Hey, you know what God's plan is? Let me show you in the Bible," is that you teach others. And we're trying to start a revolution here. I don't know if you guys, I'm going to get you in on this. We're trying to start a revolution. That's where my desire is, that every single person in this room, that you will pursue souls. Thank you for filling that seat this morning, but that wasn't my objective. It'll get cool after you leave it. I want you to know Christ. I want you to know that you know Him. I want you to delight in Christ. I want you to live the victorious life. I want you to live the abundant life. I want you to live, and I want you to want to see other people saved. And I want you to know this, it's not grievous. Oh, it's delightful. That guy never came back. I don't know why, but it is. I was a little direct with him. That's as worse as it gets. My wife cringes when I tell these stories. She goes, "You tell this story, they're gonna have that. Everybody's gonna leave." Look, I just want to teach people that are teachable. What I love is I don't think I have any crusty Baptists here. Can you all just shift real quick? Let me listen. No crunching. That's good. If you don't want to be a crusty Baptist, just be teachable. You know what that is? Jesus said, you want to know that you know that you know that you know me? Keep my commandments and don't let any of them be off limits. When God gave us the Great Commission, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's you, Don. I know you're a baby, baby Christian, but I've seen babies teach. Woman at the well. Woman at the well. Woman at the well. And so I want you to know this. It's, you may say this, ain't no way. If it was up to you, I would agree with a lot of you. But God's bigger than you. Are you going to obey the Lord today? I'm not asking you to leave this just to try to obey yourself into heaven. You cannot obey yourself into heaven. That's not the point of the message. The point of the message is one of the greatest gifts God's given us is the ability to obey, the ability to have victory in our lives, the ability to honor him, and so much is connected with that. Let me just, I'll go past these verses that I had for you. Just let me remind you this. When we obey, look at the abundant blessings. You'll know that you know him. You'll abide in Christ, and there's nothing better than abiding in Christ. His love will abound and be perfected in your hearts. I want that. I want that. My prayers will be answered. And I'll have joy because obeying God is not grievous. Don't leave trying to clean yourself up. If you're struggling with obedience, it's one of two issues. You're either lost. You may say you're saved. He that saith, he that saith, he that saith, he that saith. You may say you're saved, but the evidence is no way. You're either lost or you got to get some things right with God. And then you'll love obeying him. You do not go to heaven because you obey. That's crystal clear. Do you understand that? It's faith in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus did all the work. I just must believe. And when I truly believe, he'll lead me to obey. I just want you to examine your heart. I don't want anybody in this room to be a Matthew 7 casualty that said, I thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't. 1 John, you hang in there with us. When we're done with 1 John, you'll be able to know whether you're saved. One of the great indicators, do you want to obey? Do you want to obey?